The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Forever Dog.
That's so fun. I love the 3, 2, 1 claps.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another new episode of Very That. I think this is episode 4.
This is episode 4. Yes.
Oh, we're doing this, sis. We are on episode 4.
This is what's weird is like, why are we both wearing polka dots? Like, this wasn't, I haven't talked to you about clothing at all, so I don't know how that happened.
Well, I think it's just because after a while, it's like, you know how women have their cycles together. It becomes sort of symbiotic,
okay.
And there's a togetherness to it. And we've always had that kind of thing. I mean, you can see it in a lot of the pictures from our old school era. There are moments where we just don't even plan it. It just
That's true. We've shown a couple of those.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think so. But you'll have to excuse. I was going to try to get in drag today, but first of all, it is one of the most piping, excruciating, hot.
It's gross outside.
And my apartment is not air conditioned. And right now I'm in the process of preparing for a video shoot tomorrow. I'm doing a music video for a new song that's coming out.
Since
we have this platform, I'm just going to go ahead and promote a secret song that should be out hopefully
a secret.
And of course, in normal Raja style, I have to style myself. So a lot of it comes with the process of doing all the tedious work, including sewing on paillettes, rhinestoning, and just generally throwing shit around, trying to find stuff that I've seen you do it. You know what I'm talking about.
But what? I'm so glad you said paillettes. But what about when people say paillettes?
Well, they're gross. I've never seen that.
Paillettes.
I always have a problem, like when I'm in, like, let's say, the UK or Australia, and they refer to rhinestones as diamantes.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
I don't have a problem with it, but it's just kind of like, oh, it's a diamante. I'm saying it all wrong.
There used to be a car called it like a diamante. I think it was like a Nissan Diamante, something. There was a diamante. I swear there was.
No, there wasn't. Diamante?
There was a car called the new Diamante.
It sounds like one of those imposter perfumes you might get. If you like diamonds, you like my...
They're all back here, see?
I don't know. We probably talked about it because in our friendship and most people's friendships, you do repeat things over and over again.
Right.
But I'm really fascinated with that dollar store giant lipstick shape perfume.
This?
What in God's name? I love it. I love it. And I'm surprised it hasn't burnt a hole through your skin.
It. I don't really use it. I just like it for the little shape. But there's 4 of them. And they're 4 different colors. And they're 4 different scents. And they don't really... They just call... This one's called like be flirty. Be sexy. They're all be something. And they smell like designer imposters. But they don't say what they're supposed to smell like. But they're all essentially smell like Juicy Couture. Because that's a popular fragrance profile for a young person.
Yeah, sort of candy, floral, all sort of mixed together. Yeah, you're definitely more... I'd like to think that I know a lot about scents and I have a certain profiles that I like, but I always like listening to you talk about fragrance because you...
I love it. I love fragrance.
Yeah, there's a certain way you articulately describe...
Ooh.
There's a poetry to it, if you will.
Maybe I should go to school for that. Now, we can do anything now that the world's about to end. We can... I can go to school and I can learn what it is to be a fragrance maker. Maybe I would like
my
that.
My sister suggested, because I quit college about 2.5 years into it, and my older sister Rahana, she said, why don't you just go online and finish off the 2 years, like you might as well. And I'm like, I'm 46, what am I gonna get with a bachelor's degree in arts? I am now, you know, whatever, that's a whole other topic, but it does for me. It helps lead us into a very important topic of conversation. And I know that you are going to be a lot smarter and more. You'll just know more because first things first, let's talk about the debates.
Oh, first, God.
Please, let's talk about it.
Please.
Because you're so smart. And when I watch, you know, when I watch you talk about it or just your awareness of politics. And while we were growing up, it was never really a big conversation. But I always kind of, you're sort of like the Bill Maher in real life for me. Like I go to you for those moments.
I mean, I appreciate that. But I think we're all on the same level of frustration and understanding, because at this point we don't even need to know the intricacies of anything. Right now all we have to understand is what we all already understand. We didn't want 4 years of this, and I don't think we want 4 more years of it. And unfortunately, when we saw the debate, there was a lot of screaming back and forth, and a lot, like I posted on my Instagram, I was like, this reminds me of like Yo Mama. Like it was like, yes. Well, your mom's fat. Well, your son's on coke. Well, I don't give a fuck.
The day after, and actually during, while, you know, because of course, as I'm watching it, I'm also following it on my phone to see what everyone's comments are. But some people acted as if they were shocked by his behavior.
Right.
And I'm like, what are you so fucking shocked about? This is exactly the way he treated Hillary Clinton. He talked down. Was it then that he called her a nasty woman? I don't know. But it was out of control then. And what's so new about it 4 years later? And there's a part of me, I'm not sure if you're really that into astrology, and I mentioned it, but Donald Trump and I share the same birthday.
Okay.
We're
both
Geminis, yes. And Boy George, too. I think did we talk about it last week? I'm not
sure.
But, you know, as I was dissecting it, I had to kind of look at it through an astrological viewpoint as well, because I was like, you know what? I understand that narcissism. I mean, you've seen me get mad. And and sometimes I get out of, and you know, and my first thing to do is just to, you know, get defensive and crazy and erratic. And so it kind of made me like do some introspection on myself. I'm like, oh, what do I have similar to this person? Because, you know, I don't know, but there's that's multi-tiered as well. So,
well, of course it is. Everything's so layered, but I think. You know, the people being surprised, I think the reason people are saying that they're surprised is because I think every time that there's some moment that's going to happen where it's like, oh, the president is going to be speaking from the Rose Garden, or the president is going to be addressing the Flint, Michigan crisis or whatever. I always think people are like, this is when he's going to turn it around. This is when this cosmic joke is, we're going to realize that we had it all wrong. I think we're all waiting to go, oh, fuck. We had it wrong, because no one is really wanting to believe. Is this for real? Are we really living? Like, you know, if you ever wondered what you would do during a pandemic, you're doing it now. Like, this is what you would be doing if those things in history happen, because they're happening now. But in our minds, it's like, he doesn't really mean that. He fucked it up. He's going to mean that. Not that we believe in him, but we can't believe that somebody is truly never going to even one time go, maybe he sees it. Like, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, and he doesn't care who knows, and none of them care that knows.
I am very concerned. I'm very,
very concerned.
I'm worried about what could happen, because everything that has happened thus far in the last 4 years has been so amplified and so magnified that expect anything. Expect anything.
And I think that's why when we're talking about the debate, that's what we're talking about. When people go, God, I'm surprised. Because right. there's still a bit of everyone, I think everyone that is in these United States of America that says, well, everyone's got a breaking point and everyone's got a point where they're going to go, God, I'm a shitty person. I shouldn't do this or that. And I think people think, okay, there's got to be somebody in his camp that's like, look, you're not doing this anymore. You have right? to do what the people want. You're not doing this anymore. You're not talking this way. You don't mean this. But over and over, he's proving he does mean it. He means it. He means it in every bit of his fiber. And so many people are willing to defend him. Marginalized veterans, marginalized people that don't have, that don't have enough money, but are like, well, I'm white and he's white. So he protects me. He doesn't mm-hmm. protect you.
No, absolutely
He's
not
protecting you. You're not the same as him just because you're white. You're not the same. You're the same as everybody else because you bleed red. That's why you're the same.
Yeah.
Insane.
And he doesn't even look at you just because of the color of your skin as being the same. He is an alleged billionaire. Oh, what about the $750 in taxes? Oh my God, I can't.
I still need $750 from Cash App. That's what I need. So I'm Quill. I'm fucking cool wheel on that whole tax. We knew that though. Like, girl, bye. And then to be like, we don't want illegal immigrants here because they don't pay taxes. And then to turn around and be like, but the president's a smart man to figure out how to cheat the taxes. That's business, is it?
There's all these layers, but we're also sort of distracted constantly. If you could imagine a time before there was any social media where you just kind of dealt with the news and didn't have that distraction. Remember that? Remember?
Remember?
Delta and I never say remember. We say member.
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 I do member. And, we talk about it, too, when we talk about the photo, like when we would take photos at shows. And that's something that that's important to us is documenting that stuff. I don't know that I document it the way that I used to document it, even though it's more accessible to take pictures of yourself now. Mm-hmm. I feel like we used to really anticipate getting those pictures developed and having them in your hands. And you know what's funny is my mom, I was trying to explain to her because she took some pictures I don't remember what, and this was before the pandemic, and she said, oh, I've got to print these out. And I said, why would you print them out? You have them on your phone. You don't need to print them out. And she had found some service where you upload your pictures to them, and she printed them out in duplicates and was sending them to my aunt.
But my aunt has an iPhone too.
It is cute. It is cute. And I just thought there used to be something special about that. Like, I don't know if mm-hmm. you ever carried a little photo book in your like.
Of course.
Remember when we used to carry metal lunch pails, not for lunch, but as purses?
Absolutely. I still do. Once a goth, always a goth. So
always.
Also a happy October to you.
Oh, I know. I want so bad to look outside and go, oh my gosh. Like I always think the first day of October is going to be like the opening scene of Halloween, where like Laurie Strode is like walking outside, the wind is rustling the leaves, and it's not like that. My ass is sweaty right now, like under my chichis is wet. Like you feel it, sus.
I have that fantasy too. I really do, and
we're not having any of that.
I always imagine it to be a Sandra Bullock movie. All of them, just pick one.
Any of them.
Any of them. Practical Magic. Let's start there. I always imagine October and fall, but it never happens that way.
Never. All right. Well, there's so much more to talk about, but we are going to take a break and we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by, I almost nodded off because this Helix mattress is so comfortable, Helix Sleep!
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
I've had several many Helix mattresses for several many years now, and I love them all. They're all my babies.
I've read the men's room wall.
We have the Midnight Dusk. We have the one for heavy sleepers, and that's also good.
Oh, they're all good.
if you have slumber parties, if I love a Helix party. And we are the Helix girls, and we have been for such a long time that we know what works best for us and our bodies. But if you don't know, you could take a Helix sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Also models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Ooh, plus enhanced cooling features to help you from overheating at night.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home, so that's why they offer a 100-night trial to try out your new Helix mattress and a 10- to 15-year warranty.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it's not going to last long.
It's so good, I'm going to say it again. That's helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. You're literally getting them out of you by speaking them and figuring out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
That's right. And I think, and I've said this before, I think therapy is a very useful tool, whether you've been through something very traumatic or you're just trying to better yourself.
Yeah, and if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. You don't have to leave your house. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Yeah, all the therapists have licenses, so get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
All right, we're back, and we have some letters, some emails. People have been messaging us. They've been listening to the podcast, Raja, and they
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love that people are listening, and we're so glad to get your feedback. Anyway, continue. I'm just expressing my excitement.
No, I love it too. It's exciting because they have similar interests, or they know that we've experienced things that maybe they could get a little guidance with, or just a little, you know. So I have the first one that I would like to share with you.
Okay.
And just so people know that they can write us, you can email us every week at deltaandraja@gmail.com. So, you know, we'll go through these and we'll pick something that we think is a part of a conversation that other people might be interested in. And this first letter comes from Chris. Okay. Hi, my name's Chris and I'm a huge fan of you guys or your guys' drag. I was just wondering how I should go about becoming a working drag queen myself. I'm only 19, so I'm not sure if any bar would allow me in, but I absolutely love playing in makeup, performing in my room, embodying various personas. What was the first time like for you performing in drag, and what should I do to get myself on stage somewhere? P.S. I don't really care about making money from it. I just want to live out my fantasies of being on stage. And that's Chris. Chris.
Wow, there's few. It's like a trifle. It's a tiered question. Mm-hmm. There's multi layers to this. It's very trifle.
Mm-hmm. You're a trifling bitch.
You is trifling. Hold on. Okay, what's the first part of this? Let's see. How would I go about becoming a working drag queen myself? Mm-hmm. I'm only 19, so I'm not sure if any bar would allow. Well, you know, you're 19, baby. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm 26 years older than you.
Yeah.
And when I was 19, as I shake my proverbial rhinestone cane, when I was 19, it was a different time, you know? I mean, they weren't so strict on IDs. And in fact, I lied to a club, and because I was tall and, you know, And at that time, it's like, you know, the more stuff you put on and the more makeup, the more believable it was. No one could really actually question how old you are. Mm-hmm. And my first gig was at Oz in Buena Park. I was 19 years old. And it was a 21 and overnight, and I somehow convinced Bonnie, remember?
I do remember Bonnie.
Bonnie the bartender, who was the younger sister of the owner.
Bodie,
yes. I would go and sit in the bar with the grown-ups because it was split. It was an 18 and overnight, but I would go and sit in the bar and hang out with all the olders and do my thing, and I basically faked it, and they believed me. So, but I think that works differently now. I think people can easily find out how old you are. But what I find most interesting in this question is, Chris says, but I absolutely love playing in makeup, performing in my room, and embodying various personas. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm 46 years old, and I still do that.
Yeah,
that is the biggest part of drag, is the fantasy when you're in your own bubble and you create the imagery that you think an audience will see eventually, and you create it and you have that personal time. It's experimentation. It really is living in your fantasies. And first and foremost, that has to be the priority, I think. Don't you?
I do. I do think that's the priority. And I feel like, you have to, if you want to do drag for a living, drag has to be your passion. So, and it doesn't have to be particularly female impersonation. Once upon a time, that was the goal. That's my goal. I like being a female impersonator. I also like being a celebrity impersonator. I like doing that as well. But I like female impersonation. There's people that like male impersonation. But now we're fortunate because there's so many types of drag and so many platforms to respect drag in its different forms. Mm-hmm. And I think that's necessary and important. And I think when Chris says that trying out these different personas and playing with makeup, I think it's important to do that because you don't have to be one type of drag. But what you do have to remember, especially when you're starting out, is there's something that I've noticed with, and it's only been in the past 10, I would say less than 10 years, probably 7 years or so. And it's this thing where we talk about all drag being valid, and it is. Mm-hmm. And everyone's type of drag being respected, and it should be. Mm-hmm. But it's very difficult if you haven't been in the trenches to expand. And Chris is saying that being paid isn't important. But if you want to be a working queen, you will get paid. If you want to be paid, you have to, quote, pay your dues. And I know people say, well, I don't really want to go do drag because it's really expensive. So if I show up in drag, I need to be paid. Well, it would be nice if you could be paid. But unfortunately, a lot of, quote, artists do a lot of art that they say they're doing it for the art. You do that a little bit underappreciated, underpaid, overworked. Mm-hmm. That's just the nature of the beast. When I was coming up in drag, I remember, and you'll remember this because you were there for every single moment of my coming up in drag. We had a lot of contests here in Southern California, and we still have them, pandemic aside. And you enter these contests and you maybe win $50 or you maybe win a paid spot in the next show. You win something like that. It's important to enter those contests because that's where you can make your mistakes. That's what it's for. It's for you to go and say, God, I thought that was going to work out. And I just looked dumb. But you didn't look dumb. You learn what didn't work. That didn't work for me. That's not what I'm comfortable doing until you get to that point. And it's also important to go to bars or clubs. Or even restaurants. There's plenty of restaurants all around this country. I'm not sure where Chris is from, but all around this country, there are chains of restaurants that are all ages. And because they serve food, all ages can come in and go watch the contest, see what that's about, and then see where you fit into that and when you're comfortable doing that. But I think, like Raja said, the bottom line is you have to have a passion for it. And we know many people, we've seen many people who want to be on Drag Race or they want to be on Dragula or something, and they want to just be a star. Mm-hmm. And they figure, oh, well, I'll just be a star. I'll just do drag. And because I see drag queens become stars. But if it's not your passion, it's going to show. And you're not going to get that cred from that street cred, that club cred. You're not going to get any of that. People are just going to go, well, what do you really do in drag? Like, what is your thing? What is it that you're giving? And you're like, I don't know. My friend puts my makeup on me. But Chris is off to a good start because Chris has a passion for creating these personas with makeup and all that. And I love that. And I think Chris could go far.
Yeah, everything you said, I agree with 1,000%. I think paying the dues is definitely a big part of it. I think Chris and many other kids are so lucky to have social media in the sense that they have that as a stage, especially during this time. Because if you live anywhere in America, we don't even know if anything will open till the end of 2021. So, you know, if this is that time when you can really sort of create the character, create who is inside of you, who you... you know, really become that character. And this is the time for you to rehearse, to practice, and also to kind of show off to your friends through your social media.
And I think, too, what you're hitting on is, too, is like, you know, we've talked about, you know, with the idea of respecting all drags and all forms and being, quote, the character. You know, for someone like Raja or myself, whether we're in drag or out of drag, you're always going to get Raja. You're always going to get Delta because it's just who we are inside, just an extension. Like, this is really just... It really is just an extension of us. Now, I know there are some people that believe that they are a character that they bring to the stage and they are more comfortable speaking in third person. They're more comfortable saying, oh, this is the scent that I wear when I'm this character. For us, unless we're like, you know, impersonating a celebrity for a celebrity impersonation theme or something, we're always going to be Raja and Delta. You know, it's just going to be whether or not we're in an evening gown or we're in shredded denim or I'm in a caftan, whatever it is. Like,
I'm usually wearing all of those things at once.
At one time. But don't you think, like, I think that's what keeps us going for a long time. We've always talked about how it's like we're no matter what we're wearing, you know, this is just I feel like being in drag just gives me carte blanche to maybe do more or say more or maybe get more attention from people to what I'm talking about. But I'm always going to be the same opinion. People call me Delta in or out of drag. I prefer that just because I feel like if somebody like calls me Gabriel, I think it's my mom talking to me. So I'm like, oh, shit, what happened? You get it.
Yeah. Ultimately, at some point, you know, you're going to have to get on stage. And because stage presence, ultimately, even with the makeup, hair, and costuming skills, if you have no stage presence and don't know how to command an audience in any way, people will know.
They'll know. They will know.
They will absolutely see it. And you know what? At some point, when you feel comfortable enough, Chris, and whoever is listening, who is curious about beginning a career in drag, at some point, you're going to have to make those mistakes. You're going to have to get on stage, and you're going to have to learn to make your presence known. Can I get an amen?
But if you're going to do these contests, you know, you better be on time. You better keep your station clean. You better keep your nose clean. You better do all of those things. You better tip the fucking bartender. And on top of all of that, after all of that, once you do become a working drag queen, please, I cannot stress this enough. When you do get a gig somewhere, please understand that compensation and facilitation are two different things.
Ooh.
Compensation and facilitation are two different things. Just because somebody's paying you money doesn't mean they have to stop there. If you are getting booked to fly across the country, which we're not getting to do too much now.
I miss it so much.
Giving someone a place to stay, a hotel room and all that stuff, that's facilitation. That's not the pay, boo. Like, that's not, I'm going to need some of this.
Some of these.
I need this, and then I need you to do this, and I need a place to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
we'll get on that later. That's for the pros.
All of this is where Delta gesturing into driving. Give me a ride. Give me a place to sleep. And then give me the coin.
Yeah. But all of that. My takeaway from RuPaul is, and I've made the mistake, even though I knew better, But my takeaway from RuPaul is you get your first check before your foot hits the airplane and you get your second check before your foot hits the stage. And I've been guilty of knowing that and not doing that. But we can talk about that at a later time.
Oh, I have the greatest Lady Bunny story, but we'll talk about that another time too. Yeah. The other thing I want to mention too is, you know what? If you are new I don't care if you're new. I won RuPaul's Drag Race 10 years ago, okay? I'm not new to anything, but one thing I always do in every single town, whether it be local, abroad, or anywhere else, I go into the dressing room and I say hello to all the queens.
It is your responsibility.
I want to. It is your responsibility to work as a team. Now, they may not say hello back to you.
They will not.
At least you know in your own conscience that you've gone and reached out to all of your colleagues and coworkers and respectfully said hello, acknowledge their presence. If you know them, give them a hug, say hello. You know, that to me is so, so, so important. I can't stand it when a new queen just pops up and could give a flying fuck if I was in the room or not. I think that is the most rude thing because ultimately when you're working in an evening or if you're doing a show, a brunch or whatever, you're part of a collective. You know, you're part of an experience and you're all the crazy horse girls in Paris.
Yes.
In my mind, you are all part of a team. So be a team member. Say hello. Be courteous. And you know what? Maybe the queen sitting next to you will give you the lend you the bobby pin if you didn't bring it or let you use some of that pump it up or, because emergencies do happen. But I think ultimately as performers and as human beings, a little courtesy and a little bit of professionalism, a lot of professionalism counts.
I could not agree more about how important this. And I have some good stories about that, too. We both do. And I can't wait to share them on a future podcast.
We're going to have to go into commercial really soon. But listen, there was this time, I got to tell you real quick, Lady Bunny did not get her check. We were in Denver, and when I tell you the fit that she threw was one that I'm surprised you didn't hear in California because we were in Denver together.
Keep going. I want to hear more.
And her and I were the special guest. I was going on before her, and I was the first person to go on stage. As my name is being announced, I hear, Rosa! And she's all I hear is Lady Bunny fucking cussing. I turn because I'm at the top of the stage. The curtain is about to open and I look over my shoulder and there is Lady Bunny throwing a fit and she is wrestling with the security. Her wig is still on her head though. So thank God for that. But you know, hey, you know what? Give me the fucking money. Yep. Show it. Cow. All this.
I need a little more of this. I'll tell you about the girl. There's a story about this too. I'll tell you that later.
All right, we're gonna take a break,
and we will be right back with Raja and Delta. Very that.
Kids, we're back with Very That.
Aww.
And this is a fun segment that we've started, and it's called, what's it called, Delta?
This is
Season.
You see something?
You see something?
Oh, you see something?
I see something. What do you see? Do you see something?
Well, this, I mean, I feel like we have so many pictures documented from, like, honestly, about four different places. And the past few that we've been seeing are from West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular one is obviously at Christmas time.
Yes.
And, you know, Christmas time is like anything from today, October 1st, through Valentine's Day is like, that's when I come to life. I hibernate during the summer. I mean, I do go places, clearly. But this Halloween... Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. I mean, all of that stuff is so important to me. And Christmas. I love, love, love Christmas. And I love any reason to wear a crinoline because a crinoline can conceal so many things. And so this is us at Christmas time. And, you know, for us, especially doing drag, Christmas show is not just on Christmas. It's like any time after Halloween, you can throw in a Christmas number because... Mm-hmm. The holidays is all holidays. It's all the whole season. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, you can still wear red and green if you want.
Yeah.
So this is just us, you know, doing the damn thing. I remember I made that skirt. Actually, that skirt fabric is so hard to find anymore. I have looked for years for that same thing because I threw that skirt out because it wasn't properly made. And now I can't find that same beautiful plaid that's like taffeta.
Tartan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not a thing. I guess it's not trend. It's not a... Like, tartan is not a trend for Christmas anymore. That's Shane. That's
sad. I guess.
Sad.
But also, that's my Kathy Dennis bodysuit. Remember Kathy Dennis when I used to do that all the time?
With the little keyhole cut in the titties right there. Also, I'm noticing in the picture that I'm also wearing tartan or plaid. I remember
you
that.
Are.
Yep. I remember that was... Remember when Target used to have like different designers and they would I own a Stephen Sprouse bathing suit. Stephen Sprouse is now dead. I actually have an Alexander McQueen for Target bathing suit. I have multiple Jean Paul Gaultier pieces. And I think I don't remember what designer it was, but it was like some designer thing for Target.
Nice.
So it was inexpensive. But what I'm marveling at the most is my wasped in waist.
You are extra tiny here. You're extra
Mary, my God. I could not even try to fit into a corset like that when I see the children. No, see,
I bet you if Philip put you into it, you could.
Or Eddie, yes. I have friends who are very strict about a corset fit. And I love seeing the youngins, the Violet Tchotchkes, because guess what? You don't get to have that forever. It takes a lot of work. Now I would imagine using that same red velvet versatile fashions corset as a neck piece.
Yeah, that's a nice gauntlet for me.
Yeah, I might need a second one as a boot cover, you know, because it probably hugs my ankles just as snugly. I wish, and I still own the corset as if I'm going to try to fit into it one day. But it still exists. And I know exactly what number I did in that. I probably did All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Of course you did. Of course you did. That's the go-to Christmas number. That's the number that everybody likes to hear at Christmas. And, you know, Mariah comes to life around this time of year. You know, she's almost ready as soon as Halloween, next morning, it's Mariah Carey season. And as it should be. I mean, you know, Mariah's a girl for all seasons, but that specific. And you know me, I gag because we live in Southern California, and I gag for Coast 103.5 to start the Christmas 24 hours a day. And I got pissed a couple of years ago because they were like, oh, the day after Christmas, we're done. And I was like, hell no, it's Christmas till after New Year's. It's actually Christmas till Three Kings Day, so don't fucking play with me. I need to hear it. And I know I have Pandora Radio and satellite radio. I don't give a fuck. I want to hear it on Coast Radio. That's what I want to hear all the time. Christmas.
I'm sure, I think there would be a Christmas channel for music that you can listen to all year.
There is. Coast 103.5. Oh, all year. Well, have to listen to that on, you have to listen to that on Pandora Radio.
Which is, you know, ironic because I probably really only truly, truly enjoyed Christmas as a theme during theme nights at drag shows because I hate Christmas. I am very unlike you in that way. Listen to me first. I worked at Nordstrom and I worked at MAC Cosmetics as a young person, 19 years old, much like
I worked at the mall.
Sis, no, you know what? I just don't love it. I don't love it anymore. I do love the colors. I love the bright lights, and that's probably it. I love the festivities, but as I've become older and found my own ways, because it was always a very religious time for me, and I never really loved that part, maybe.
Is it because inside you feel poor and unloved? Is that why? You're not
that
privileged
is it.
Like me.
I'm
privileged.
Listen, bitch, I do not need Christmas to make me feel poor or unprivileged. I can do that all year round, but I don't love it. And the only times I've really, really enjoyed it was when I gotten to perform or be with my, you know, theme nights.
Well, guess what? Santa Claus still loves you, and I still love you, and I think you deserve a tamale.
See, I love tamales. I love the food. I love the food.
Down. down.
I love, oh, Christmas food is wonderful. Christmas sweets. I'm more of a savory person, but I definitely indulge in the sweets during Christmas time.
Sure.
There are elements that I love about it. I don't love the commercialism of it and the need for us to feel stressed out about not being able to get someone a gift or inviting a certain person to an event, and all of that is stressful to me. I love the great majority of my relatives. We are all pretty much a very, very close knit family. But then there are certain members that I just, you know, I'm a weirdo. I'm a summer person.
No, I think what you said is so true. Because it wasn't until recently that I was able to wrap
my... I hate Black Friday. I hate that visual of people beating each other up
it
in order
defeats
to...
defeats the purpose.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it so much.
And it wasn't until recently that I realized what you're saying is so true. That, like, you know, that forcing yourself to buy gifts for people that, you know, first of all, don't give a shit if you gave them a gift or not. And second of all, definitely don't appreciate the thought that you put into it. Why should we have to do that? And you don't have to do it. And it's only as I've gotten older that I realized, like, it's not going to, it's only going to make me feel better if I just do that and celebrate the way that I celebrate with people who do care and do, and are interested. And of course, you know, as they say, I know it's trite, but, you know, Christmas is with us all year round. If you want to give someone a gift, you can give them a gift if you want to, or spending your time with them as a gift, or sharing thoughts with them as a gift. And and I know, again, I'm not trying to be so preachy about it, but I really do mean it. And I know you mean the same thing, that that forcing yourself to do it, it just makes you feel ugly. And we shouldn't be available to have to do things that make us feel ugly. Right. I don't want to feel gross.
I was trying to insult you and make a joke about that, but I'm clearly not that clever.
Look.
Look, see it. Something?
You find you something? See. How could I be ugly ever? Wait, hold on. Where's my... Because you know when I talk a lot, the corners of my mouth go away. So I over here modeling.
Well, that happens to ugly people. So...
Okay, well, you're ugly.
But you know what? I found, you know, with the spirituality and Jesus thing and
Jesus.
And the retailness of it all, I found my way of celebrating winter in my different versions of mysticism that I've adopted over the years. I celebrate solstice more than I do December 25th. You know, Sultan with the solstice.
Do you make a poultice?
I do. And with that, that's just really just a quick segue because Raja Shanti. Gemini, hold on, RajaGemini.com now exists. And the first set of Raja tarot cards are now on sale. Yes, I'll give you a set, sis.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
They're beautifully done.
They're done by my friend Camilla Reyes, who's a brilliant illustrator.
Nice.
And I don't know much. I use tarot as a tool, but the imagery that she created was so beautiful that I had to create a set, and it's now kind of, you know, again, I'm a bit of a narcissist, so it's kind of allowed me to.
I love that.
Yeah.
You create
They're beautiful. So anyway.
See something? I see something.
I hope that we get to perform during the holiday season somewhere. You do. And maybe we'll schedule my time to go and perform with you executive suites. Well, I'll do it before that.
Yeah, you will.
Christmas is far away. I want to do like the Halloween time.
Well, listen, I'm making an in-person appearance tonight at the executive suite. And I am very tempted to start my Halloween numbers now because you know how much I love Halloween as well. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, like, do I do my Lily Munster now? I actually have a brand new number sitting over here on the mannequin. and I'm very excited about Nurse Ratched and something from Scooby-Doo. What about Daphne from Scooby-Doo? I'm into it.
Why don't you just do Scooby-Doo?
Why don't you just do Shaggy like you're doing right now?
Oh my God. I think everyone needs Halloween more than ever this year. Everyone needs a bit of fantasy and some fun. And I'm very, very much looking forward to the gayest holiday and the most wonderful holiday of the year, in my opinion.
It's going to be great.
I love Halloween so, so much. I'm glad that we're here and we're in fall, autumn.
I love Boo. It. So yeah. Is it, what is it? What is it? Fall equinox, or what do you sell? How do you do all that with the tarot cards and stuff? I'm unclear.
The tarot doesn't really relate so much to the holidays. I guess you can do tarot every day. You can do it multiple times a day.
I'm just making fun of you.
I know you are, but then I was trying to like back it up and I couldn't.
Back it in. Let me begin.
Is that it? Are we done? Oh my God, we're so done. I hate that part. We'll continue our conversations privately, whether it be through Instagram messaging or text.
Or both at the same time.
Or both. And we're encouraging everybody that's listening and watching right now to definitely send in some questions. Tell us where you're from, too, because we want to know how far this is being reached. I want to know if people... one of my good friends, Dallas Stella Force, who's a icon yes. as far as drag is concerned in Australia, is a big lover of this show already.
So
I know it's reaching Australia. So we'd love to hear from you guys. Make sure that you send your messages and your locations.
Do you think it's going to Mars?
Is it Delta and Raja or Raja and Delta Gmail?
It is deltaandraja@gmail.com.
That's what it is. See? Yeah. It's only episode 4. I'll know all this by like episode 25.
Find something. I've had people message and they say that they want to hear a full version of this song. A full version of see something, find something, vary that.
Oh, I think so too. I think we have it in us. I mean, you know, they have all of our vocals. We did it all, you know, in one evening. And I think there's a track there. I think we can definitely do a music video for it. We could be like Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion kind of video. You know, what do you think?
I definitely can give you wet ass right now because it is warm today. It is warm. But I mean, I've got some bars that could be put back into that track. So, you know, I know there's people who don't believe that I could sing, but I just haven't given you everything yet. I've got moves you haven't seen before.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Fucking wow, Mom. Fucking wow.
Oh, my God.
Well, listen, thank you guys so much for listening to Vary That with Delta and Raja. We are available every Monday. You can check us out. And you have to subscribe. So subscribe to us so that way you get an alert. You know exactly when the podcast comes out. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere that you procure all of your podcasts that you love to listen to. And please rate us. Tell everybody how much you're enjoying it. Share it on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, anywhere you want. We would love to hear from you. We would love for you to share in our stories and some of our shenanigans and tomfoolery.
See something?
Find something?
Well, before we exit, I'm going to have to find that photo of us at the RuPaul contest. So let's hope that by next week.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah, we need to find that. Or I don't have it, but I know there's people out there who follow us that may have been to shows in the past, may have pictures of stuff. So if you happen to have pictures of me and Raja together or even separate, we could see separate pictures of us from maybe just different events that are a long time ago. We're not talking about like Raja at Pride last year in West Hollywood. We want to see Raja at Pride in Costa Mesa in 1999. I want you to send pictures of us performing at Encounters.
yes please. Yes, and thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Also, you can follow us on Instagram at SutanamRule or just Delta Work on Instagram. And we will be back next Monday with a very new episode of Vary That.
Vary That. Have a great day, everyone.
Forever.
To listen to Vary That ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Vary That is produced by Forever Dog
and Moguls of Media, aka Mom,
hosted by Delta Work and Raja.
Music, sound design, and editing by Will Pitts.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.